Beloved people, this morning, of course, is Gaudete Sunday. It is the middle of Advent, and that's why you see the rose color every place this morning, and you see flowers also on the altar this morning. Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week are Ember days, and therefore are days of fast and abstinence. Meat may be eaten once on Wednesday and Saturday of this week. Please be mindful of the schedule of Masses for Christmas Day, as well as for the schedule of Masses for the first day of the year. I do hope that as many as can possibly do so will be here for the Mass of the first day of the year, the first day of the century, the first day of the millennium. This is truly a significant occasion, and therefore we should try to give it the best we have. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. In today's bulletin, we have perhaps set out on a little bit of a rampage. And this is not and should not be the normal approach that we take here, certainly is not the normal approach that we take here, because our approach should be and must always be that of prayer, holiness, and spirituality. On occasion, there are some things that just simply have to be said. And today is one of those occasions. And we should read this in the spirit in which it is given, that we are not out and should not be out and must not be out on an attempt of attack or of defense, and we should not carry with us a little satchel that has all the arguments to prove anything, because proving does not gain any converts, and that is something that we should keep in our heads. Some of us, the first thing we want to do when we run up against somebody is to prove something. And we have the documents in our pockets, in our hip pockets, in our billfolds, in our purses, or wherever, and we start pulling those out one at a time, trying to prove our point. And this gets us nowhere. And the last 40 years should be sufficient evidence to indicate that this has gotten us nowhere. Our approach can only be, and should only be, prayer. We are in Advent. Advent is a very special time of the year. It is a time of the year when we demonstrate, or should demonstrate to ourselves first of all, then to others, the spirit of prayer or the prayerfulness that should be within us. It is the interior life of prayer that we must show others. This cannot be just a facade. We're not putting on a show. We must give to others what is inside of us. That's not easy. And it isn't easy to bring this point to those whose pride prevents them from looking in the interior, in their interior life. The self-righteous, the ones that are always right, the ones who impose themselves on all who are around them, the ones who make life miserable for those who have to live with them. My beloved people, this is not the Catholic experience. It is not the Christian experience. We have to be people of prayer. And our prayer life should not be, I can't find the word that I want to use, our prayer life should not be something that we, it should not demonstrate the holiness that we wish to show others only while at the moment of prayer. If the attitude, if the feeling, if the atmosphere of the piety of that prayer time, of that prayer moment, does not spill over into our affairs with those around us, there's something wrong. There's something very wrong. And as a matter of fact, if the ways that we deal with others around us are not affected by the prayer that we say, then can we make it clear to ourselves that the prayer that we say is a total waste of time? Let us not say, well, if I say that prayer, it will say, or probably give me some kind of grace that maybe in the future I can be better. Negative. Absolutely negative. If we are not affected by the words that we say in the prayer that we just finished, my beloved people, it would be better for us to go out and have a party for all the good that it does. It does to us spiritually. It means nothing. And not to be facetious, but what part of nothing do we not understand? We do not play games with God. We cannot expect God to come down and notice the great piety that we show while in the process of saying the rosary, or while in the process of saying the prayers that are in our prayer book, or while we are in the process of reading scripture, or of using the missal at Mass, or however else we may wish to show our prayer life. Let us not fool ourselves into thinking that God is going to be influenced by those rare moments during the day that we take up the time to address ourselves to Him. So when the time comes, as we have said in our bulletins just recently, when the time comes and we hear these horrendous words, "I know you not," let us not be surprised. Let no surprise come to us when we hear those awesome words. When He tells us, "Depart from me, I know you not." The spiritual life is not a joke. The spiritual life, regardless of how our world tells us otherwise, the spiritual life should be the complete focus of our existence. Now, what does that focus itself upon? I'm sure that each of us, from time to time, use the words, I love you. But what effect do these words have upon us as individuals and in our individual approach to those who are around and about us? If we, on the one hand, tell God, or remind God, rather, that we love him, and then walk away from that moment and walk around the ones that are near us and dearest and around us and about us in our household and treat them like dirt and consider them to be stupid and consider them to be ignorant and consider them to be anything and everything, which of course we are not. What impact do the words, I love you, have on God? And it is because of that that we will hear those words, I know you not. It's very difficult to penetrate the mind and the heart and the soul of a proud man or woman. Not even God can do that. Grace itself cannot operate in the heart of a proud man or woman. We come to Mass, and we have our books, and we read our books, and we follow our books, our missals. And this is quite as it should be. What effect do the prayers that we read in our missals as we follow the priest at Mass, what effect do those prayers have on our interior life, if any? What effect? Do we find ourselves in the atmosphere that those prayers were carefully put together to cause? Or are we just reading words, words, words? Are we just making noises with our lips as we read the prayers, as we say the rosary, as we read spiritual books? It is not a question of being low-rated from the pulpit, because we're not. It's a question that the pulpit is desperately, especially in these times and under the present circumstances that we live, that the pulpit is desperately trying to tell us that unless and until we turn to the interior correction of our lives, that everything we do is nothing. Really, nothing. And we need to go home and study that word, nothing. It is truly a waste of time. It isn't Catholic. It isn't even Christian. And it has resulted in some of the things that you will read when you read in the bulletin today, who is responsible? question is, we no longer look upon the things of the other world as being significant or important. Again, let us go back to the Mass. When we read our missals, and we should, and I encourage it, I do not want that to anything to happen to that. This was started back in the early days of this present century, and it was done for a good reason, because the people were simply coming to church and paying little enough to what was going on. What's going on, and that's why it's all brought a so in mid-time it's hit. But in mid the use is like a priest karat, as we are in there. But from time to time, what we should do is, at such a time and point of the Mass, when the priest comes either to the offertory, uncovers a chalice, or at the consecration, let us try every now and then to simply shut our missals, shut our prayer books, put our rosaries away, and simply look at what's going on up there. And from the bottom of your heart, over and over again, work to enter the level of contemplation. And what is contemplation? Is it something that we have to do? Something that we have to practice? You know the story that I've told you before about the old man who used to go and spend great sums of time in church each day, or quite often. And one day when he was asked, "What do you do in church so long a time during the day?" And his answer was, he was an ignorant old man. His answer was, "I look at him, and he looks at me." Now there we have not only the elements of contemplation, but we have reached the peak of contemplation. My beloved people, love, that is, if it is truly love, and not just a simple mental gymnastic or exercise, love, if it is truly love, is silent. It doesn't need to speak. And when we speak, when love is supposed to be working, when we are speaking or reading our prayers, blah, 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 blah. Dear Lord this, dear Mother that, dear Saint this, they're on and on and on and on. And our prayer books will go from page to page to page to page, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 prayers every day. All we're doing, oh yes, the prayers are beautiful. Don't misrepresent what I'm saying. The prayers are truly beautiful. But there are times when we just have to be quiet and stop listening to ourselves and give ear to what he has to say. Now, he will not come down, as some people think. He will not come down, and we will not have a dialogue between himself and I. There'll be no words spoken. There'll be no words heard. There'll be no activity. But somehow, somehow, there will be words that will pierce your hearts, and they will take place in the instant of a moment. And in that instant, volumes will be said. Do we understand that? Do we understand that? And in that instant of that moment, if something is said to us and we are genuine, in the instant of that moment, if that does not affect the rest of our lives during that particular day, then we have lost it. We have missed it. And we'll be no better than the Pharisees who saw him, who talked to him, who touched him, who ate with them, with him, but they never saw him. And they were called whited sepulchres. Beautiful on the outside, and inside full of dead men's bones. Now, as I am speaking at this moment, and I'm saying these things, which are not necessarily easy to hear, what's going on in our minds? Has it crossed our minds that what he is saying, I sure hope my husband is listening. I sure hope my wife is listening. I sure hope my cousin, my aunt, my father and mother, or my pet dog, or whoever else, I sure hope they are all listening to what he's saying. How many of us in here have said, he's talking to me? He's talking to me. I am the one that needs correcting. Not my husband, nor my wife, nor my sister, or brother, or mother, or father, or whoever. I am the one who needs correcting. And if I can accomplish my own personal correction, after a while, I will be amazed, strictly amazed, at how the character of my husband or my wife or whoever, how their character has improved. I am the one who has to be corrected and who needs correcting. Not necessarily my husband, regardless of the fact that he's a good-for-nothing, low-down crank. You see, he's got work to do too. And if each husband and wife, a brother or sister or whoever, takes the words, it's not just me, these are not my words. If we just take these words and apply them to themselves, to himself and herself, what a change the life in the house, what a change the life in the home will take on. It is humility that we must learn from the days preceding the great feast of Christmas. And when we study the lives of our Blessed Mother or of Saint Joseph, we find very little dialogue. I'm sure there was dialogue. We find very little dialogue. But the love between these two was so great and so perfect and so intense that between the two of them working together in this kind of love for each other, their love was so intense and so perfect that the infant Savior, the God of all eternity, Jesus Christ, came and was placed between the two of them. And the three of them proceeded to show us what we are supposed to do. It was not that they talked about the first 30 years of that particular life. Practically nothing is known, yet everything is known. And it was all based on love. Christ did not go about, Saint Joseph did not go about, the Blessed Mother did not go. Can you imagine her arguing? Can you imagine Saint Joseph arguing? When he was asked to believe the most unbelievable story ever told on the face of this earth, suppose any one of you men are engaged to be married. And you realize that you have kept chaste with the one that you are to marry. And all of a sudden, she presents herself to you pregnant. And you question her. And she proceeds to tell you, I am pregnant. I am with child. At the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Would you believe that? Would you believe that? Would you accept that? Joseph did. without a word, without a single word, he accepted that. And he took care of the both of them with the tenderness that you would expect from such a man. We're not talking here about ordinary things, about ordinary ways of life. We are here talking only about the traffic that takes place in heaven. But we are so completely overwhelmed by the fast lane traffic that we are accustomed to that we do not notice the steps that are taking place in heaven. Then is it no wonder that we are restless, that we are fearful, that we are concerned, that we are afraid, and our fear makes us do the strangest things. But all we have to do in our fear is to approach him and look at him. And one look from him back in an instant will give you more peace, more consolation, more serenity, more calm, more joy than all of the argument that can be put together by our clever minds. Just one glance, and our souls will explode with these feelings. I'm not talking about the things of this earth. They are not worth the value of any pebble, of any grain of gravel that we can pick up on our parking, off of our parking lot. My beloved people, we want a good Christmas. We want a good new year. We want a good new century. We want a good new millennium. These are very important, and they are indeed. But the goodness of those occasions, if it's plural or singular, I don't know which to say. But the goodness of those occasions, or of that occasion, depends not on all of the other activities that we can put together. The success of that occasion will not depend on preparations that everybody's involved in right now. The success of that occasion and its continuing success will depend entirely on me and what I contribute to its success. So now it's time to quit. Late again. But let's think these things out and let's see our lives change. I can tell when I'm different. I can tell when I am better. Not that I should keep this as an intellectual thing, you know. As long as it is in my mind that I am good, I am chaste, I am holy, I'm recollected, I'm humble, I'm this, I'm that, or the other. As long as that is still in my mind, I'm none of those. When it's out of my heart, I will no longer think upon them, because it will then be part of my being. And I will be humble to others because I am truly humble. I will be kind to others because I am truly kind and loving and this and that. I speak to you only of the things of heaven. The things of earth, you trample on them on the parking lot. What does it take to persuade us that that is so? And when we approach him and we hear, "Come, ye blessed of my Father," I will not even attempt to describe what that will be, how that will feel. My beloved people, my beloved people.